Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com, Upwork.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The Delphi murders. They have haunted the true crime world for years. 2 young girls, a grainy video, and a conviction that was supposed to bring justice. But the deeper you dig, and you don't have to dig that deep in this case, the messier it gets. Alternate suspects, some dead with beyond shady pasts. Theories the jury never heard, and an appeal that could turn the whole case upside down, and an injustice happening to the man that was convicted and accused of the crime that is unfathomably happening right under our noses here in the United States. But we don't care because it's not a pretty blonde girl. It's just a dad in Indiana that, you know, average dude. Not a lot of sex appeal there. And, well, he had it coming if he did it. Well, here's the thing. I don't think he did. And I think most people think he didn't, if you really look at the evidence. We're going to break all of this down today. And we're going to talk about the latest developments with his appeal process and then being transferred to Oklahoma. I mean, this happened in Delphi, Indiana. His family, his attorneys, they're all in Delphi, Indiana. It doesn't make it exactly fair or right that he can't see his counsel on a major appeal at this moment in time. But it's just one of the many thousands of roadblocks that have been put up in this man's way from preventing him from getting the justice that he deserves for a crime that I personally believe he did not commit. And many, many feel that way. Carol Hughes is with us to discuss. The new documentary is out on Hulu right now from ABC, The Girls on the High Bridge. And it's compelling. It's something, if you've not seen this case before, not fully understood it, it gives you, I would say, a starting point into it.
Yeah, very much so, because yeah. I'm one of those people who was familiar with the story, but I learned a lot from that. Mm-hmm. I thought the documentary was very well done.
Yeah, it was. And it really starts to give you, I think, a sense of what this case is all about. So it's worth watching. If you really want to go deep into it, just search Delphi Murders, or Delphi, really. Just do that search on our channel, on the podcast platform, or on YouTube, and you'll find a lot, hundreds of videos where we dive super deep into all of this. But you just got a chance to see it. So I'm really curious to kind of get your perspective. And this would probably align with the perspective of anybody out there who's just recently seen this as well, as to what your thoughts are on this from kind of a passive look. The case is big three here. We have the bullet, the bridge guy video, and the confessions. That's what the folks who believe Richard Allen did it always go back to. I'm curious, from your perspective, how strong are they?
You know, when I was watching the documentary, I kind of went back and forth several times. I was like, maybe he did it. Maybe that guy did it. Oh, there's another interesting theory. But I think that in part, he did not help himself by admitting that he was there. And the thing is that he might have admitted that, called it in, you know, saying, you know, I was there. Maybe I saw something.
Well, let me just, I don't want to even speculate on what he might have done. I want to tell you exactly what he did, so other people don't go and go, well, maybe he did that, because he didn't. So I'm going to stop you. I don't want to mean to be rude or anything, but I'm going to stop you on any speculation that I know is just false.
No, you know way more about this case.
Because that's how a lot of people think about this thing. Well, maybe he, like, let's just stop it there. So people, and one doesn't just think that, because there's so many mistruths about that. At the very beginning of this, yes, he was out hiking there that day. His wife said, these kids are missing. The police are wanting to know information. If you're out there, anything you can provide. He goes down. He voluntarily gives information, says, hey, I was there that day. How can I help? Gives anything he knows. They lose his information in the shuffle for several years.
Yeah, for a long time.
After the other alternative suspects, the ones that have a lot of solid evidence on them, are either locked up for other crimes or dead. There's still a lot of, you know, vitriol in this city. They need to find the killer. At least the villagers with pitchforks want that to be done. And I understand. The family would want that to be done, too. I think your killer's dead, but okay. So they eventually, somebody who's volunteering their time at the office comes across this old note, this man who didn't make any sort of confession. He just said, hey, I was there. Here's, you know, what I saw that day. How can I help? And suddenly this comes back as a big lead. Basically, they had nothing else. And then they start trying to railroad Richard Allen into confessing that he killed these kids. So initially, right off the bat, he raised his hand. He wanted to help. How many killers are going to go volunteer to give you information on the scene that they murdered two children at, or even let you know that they were there if they did it? So let's put that one into perspective right off the bat. That's what
happened. It seemed to me like at that time when that tip, when it was rediscovered, since it was
missing. Yeah, because they lost it because they're so good at investigating stuff.
And I'm going to guess they had a lot of tips, but that one would have been huge.
His tip was really not amazing or anything. He had nothing to give.
No, not at the time.
Yeah.
But then the way they presented it years later was like, aha, this is it.
But it really meant it still was about as unsexy and informative and unrelated to the case, I think, as you can really get. He was there. That's it. Okay. There's a lot of people that were there at that moment in time. There's not a ton that really that holds up in that part of it.
Yeah.
But that's how this thing begins. And that's how a lot of it continues on. But there's other aspects here. We got the confessions, the video, the bridge guy, the bullet. I'm curious. I just want to go over all these things in your mind as to, you've consumed this documentary, you've heard what they've said. What are your thoughts on Let's talk the bullet.
I thought that was interesting. Now, because, you know, frequently in cases that have shootings, they find the bullet, they find that gun, and it does seem like there's evidence that that bullet came from a gun that he owned. However, they do bring up that that science is kind of not always 100%. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know a little bit more about the science behind that. Did it definitively prove that was a bullet that came from a gun he owned?
Well, in the mind of Liggett and the folks, the investigators in Delphi, it's a science that has no questions to it. In the rest of the world, outside of Delphi, Indiana, it's a very dicey subject.
Okay.
It gets thrown out of court quite often. It can have a lot of errors to it. And here's the other interesting part about all of this. This bullet that suddenly became a big thing only saw its way to the light of day after they confiscated his gun. Now, keep in mind, this was a crime not committed with a gun. This was a crime of stabbing.
I thought that was interesting, too, because I'm like, if he had a gun with him, then why did he stab them?
So they confiscate his gun out of his house when they decide, oh, we're going to look after him. After that is when suddenly this bullet has these markings on it from an unspent bullet.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Considering there's a lot in this case that seems to be ignored, planted, changed, or just made up, I don't think it's a bridge too far for someone to say, we threw the bullet in the gun, and look, it has the markings. Look, it's always had these markings. It must be you. And take a wild guess and say that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation.
That didn't seem to me to be that concrete.
I'd love to see a picture of this bullet prior to them confiscating his weapon. It doesn't
that
exist.
Interesting.
It does not exist. And this has supposedly been in your evidence for how long? And somehow this matches up. We had to get the angle just right. Okay. Again, not a very exact science. And also, very common bullet. Very common gun, and you're in Indiana. It's gun country. There's a lot of people. If you're going to go through, you better be running and checking every single bullet from every single person who has that type of make of a gun in the area to see how those markings line up as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, it's a two-thought process. Then you have the bridge guy video. That's another big aspect to this case.
I don't see how you could say that video and the still that they pulled from it. You can't identify anything about that person. That could be 10,000 different men.
Could it?
It could be a lot of different men because you don't really see the face. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of guys of similar builds. It could have been, now, and we'll get into the other suspects, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. but, you know, it could have been a guy that doesn't even live there at all, that's going through town, and he lives in Colorado for all, you know, mm-hmm. who knows? They would never figure out just from that picture who that person is. And the audio as well was not clear enough to say, this is definitely Richard.
Well,
I don't see how they made that leap because I didn't hear any distinguishable.
And here's the other fun part about that video, where on the surface it is what it is, but when you look just a little bit deeper, you discover some other fun facts about that video. The original video was released as like a 4-second piece. And they edited it. They moved the sound. They moved the part. They literally changed the part where the guy says down the hill and pasted it to the area where you see the guy on camera for that split second. That is not where the audio drops. He's not saying it. He's not saying it from way down the bridge going down the hill, girls. When you actually watch the real video, the full video that's now been released, the girls are sitting there talking about where the trail goes. Where do we go from here? How do we get down the hill? Things of that nature. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but they were essentially at that moment in time trying to figure out how to get down the hill to another area. This guy passes by. He says, down the hill. I think if I was passing by two children that were trying to figure out where to go on the trail, and that's where they were trying to figure out how to get to, I would probably say the same thing, being a helpful human being. It's not an ominous statement. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in that that says, go down the hill, follow me down the hill. It's not that. But it's been molded to feel like that if you're taking it out of context, literally editing the video, moving the sound around to places where it's not truly at, then you get a much more ominous feel to this.
Right.
And the guy is not really the height, really the make, really the look at all of Richard Allen. I want to show you a video or an image here. I was trying to find it. I had on my bridge guy, and because there's some interesting things out there about who bridge guy might be, and it certainly doesn't seem to be Richard Allen. It seems to be much more looking like Ron Logan, who was one of the ultimate suspects.
That guy seems extremely suspicious.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to find, I have a comparison shot here that I want to bring up so you can see it on the screen if you're watching us. I'll continue to look for it here, but I will find it. But if you just do a Google of Ron Logan and Bridge Guy, you'll find it. It's shockingly, it's like when he went to do a television interview, he basically put on the same outfit as Bridge Guy. And then you compare the two, it's like, oh, well, that's Bridge Guy. But at the end of the day here too, there's nothing that really ties Bridge Guy to the murders other than he happens to be the last person that was caught on video on the phone of one of the victims.
And I get why that's suspicious. I totally get that. Like, because they ended up murdered. And look, there is a man by himself very in close proximity to these girls.
But why does that automatically mean that that guy killed those kids?
Right. Exactly. He might not have had anything at all to do with it.
Those are the dots that do not make any sense to me. Now, here's a graphic. I'm showing it on screen right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're not and you want to watch us on YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. What we're seeing here, this is Ron Logan. He's dead, by the way. This is Bridge Guy over here in that shot. That's Bridge Guy in that shot. This is Ron Logan. Let me move the mic out of the way. That's Ron Logan right there.
Yeah. Definitely looks a very similar build. And it's hard to tell height, but
it is same gait, same walk. The a woman who dated Ron Logan for several years or several, I don't know for years, but for a time being, watched that video and said, that's Ron. It's the guy I dated. It's the guy I broke up with because there was a little girl down the road that wanted to buy a horse from him, and he got a little too handsy, and she felt that to be a bit uncomfortable. And, oh, yeah, Ron Logan smashed her over the head with a wrench.
Oh, my God.
So a little history of violence there. A little history there. Little tight thing. I've also heard from many others in Delphi, Indiana. Trying to think of how to phrase this. Ron was connected. Ron was kind of a party guy, allegedly. There's allegations out there that Ron was the one who was buying liquor for a lot of the kids back in the day. I'm not saying these little kids. Oh. I'm saying years ago.
He's been known to have done
folks that might have a reason to think fondly of old Ron Logan, the guy who kind of did stuff for, you know, kind of off the record. Yeah, we'll do this. Do it my way. Ron Logan also, by the way. So there could be an affinity, I would say, for folks, oh, I don't know, of a certain age, 30s, 40s, I don't know, might be trying the case, that there might be a bit of a relation or a connection there to not maybe put all effort towards looking into Ron Logan, because how could it be that guy? Mm-hmm. It couldn't be. He's the guy who did this for us. He's the guy who was, he was party guy. He was a friendly dude. He's older now. There's no way. No way. In a small town, no way. This can't happen. And there might have been some of that at play with Ron Logan as well.
Could have been.
Another big key part of Ron Logan's story in all of this is Ron Logan made up a fake alibi. Made up a fake alibi of where he was at the times of the murders. Now, it was trying to be pawned off in the video or in the documentary by slick back, I put too much LA gear in my hair prosecutor.
Yeah, that hair.
McClelland. It's like, how much product do you put in your hair? I mean, what is that look? Why is it that attorneys, and I don't get that. I do not understand, and I'm friends with a lot of attorneys, but I do not get where it's like, let's put shitloads of product in our hair and slick it back. I think that's going to invoke trust. I don't know where that comes from. Do you know?
I don't know either.
But yeah, Nicholas McClelland, slick back hair, what's left of it. He was trying to explain it. Well, he lied to us because he went to the dump and he didn't have a license. Okay, he went to the dump. Number one, he's dropping off bags in the dump that we don't know what are in them.
Exactly, what was in the bags?
Like, number one, that's questionable. And he's not legal to drive. But you're just looking at the surface going, oh, he's making it up because he's going to be in trouble for not having the license. Is that it? Is that all there is? Is that why he told his friend to lie and say that they went to another town to buy fish at the pet store?
I thought that was interesting because I'm like, he blatantly lied, but oh, it's just because he didn't have a valid driver's license.
It has nothing to do with the fact that two girls are dead on your property at that moment in time, and no one knows about it yet. There is no reason you need to make up an alibi or tell anyone you have an alibi at that moment in time because nobody's looking into you because nobody knows those girls are dead on your property. He didn't make it up when they started looking. He made it up before anybody found the damn bodies.
Yeah, true.
So there's that.
Wasn't there his phone pinged?
Oh, yeah. And there's that.
Right. And they dismissed that.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot
and
of
I'm
things.
Like, okay, he lied and he was in the area. Yeah. He lied about being in the area at the time.
Yeah. So
that's highly suspicious. But instead, they brush him off and they say, oh, well, he doesn't have a driver's license. I mean,
that's what it was. Like,
would you want to get caught?
History of violence. Accusations from people who know him well of being a little too, having a bit too much of an affinity for young children, girls. And he makes up a fake alibi before.
And his girlfriend says
that he beats her. And he goes to prison for that, for beating his girlfriend with the wrench and for not having the license. That's eventually what he goes to for, is for the license. This is the guy. This is a guy that there's no reputable leads over here. The FBI thinks it's him. The FBI goes in and raids his property. They do a full investigation. And then they hand it on a silver platter to the Delphi authorities. And what does Delphi do with it? They say, you know what? We're going to handle this on our own. We don't need you anymore, FBI. Bye-bye. Because you may not know this, the FBI is only there because they're requested to be there. They are there at the asking of the local jurisdiction. The local jurisdiction has the power to kick the FBI out, not the other way around. And the local jurisdiction kicked the FBI out of the investigation.
And we don't know what they found. Size, in a town that size, they don't really have the skill set.
You don't.
Not saying that there aren't some good investigators on their.
There aren't. There were no good investigators. The guy who investigated.
Maybe they are. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but they don't
investigate. It was his first investigation. The first.
This is a double murder of girls.
Yeah.
They needed someone with experience. And, you know, and even at the crime scene, they didn't preserve the crime scene the way they should have. So they didn't do the whole investigation the way a more skilled force would have done.
No, they screwed it up.
Let's just say the FBI.
They screwed the whole thing up. And probably by their sloppy actions that are a result of inexperience because it's a small town. It just is what it is. But because of that, they bungled the thing so bad that it was probably very, very difficult to solve this. Mm-hmm. Or there were people involved that they didn't want to expose because those people might have other people to expose. And there seems to be some of that going on around these parts, allegedly. So there's all of that. There is no DNA on the scene of Richard Allen. There's nothing. I mean, if you and again, the timeline of Richard Allen being there too. These girls were undressed. One was naked. The other had the other's clothes on. Their bodies had been moved and cleaned. So you're assuming that all of this would have been done on the trailhead in a very short amount of time by Richard Allen, who was out for a walk and he works at the CVS.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you do have plenty of resources to clean up these kids and move them around and bodies and all of that at the property where they were found of Ron Logan.
Yeah.
But we don't know what happened there because that investigation started really late. And then the findings have never been released. So there's a lot.
One thing I did think of while I was watching it, because I found the Ron Logan possibility being, there was a lot of evidence, I thought.
Yeah.
And had they investigated that to the fullest extent, they might have, or allowed someone in to help them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ron Logan dies, they want someone to pay for this crime.
Yeah.
And so at that point, Ron Logan can't pay, so we got to find somebody else.
It's the villagers with pitchforks. We got to find somebody here to blame this on. Mm-hmm. And I get it, if you are the family and these are your kids, you want someone to pay, without
absolutely.
A doubt. But at the same point, not at the expense of destroying more families. And I'm sorry, I feel horrible for these victims' families, but y'all got to wake up at some point and go, you got the wrong guy. I know it's like, we don't want to disturb them. They're, you know, they've already been through it. You're right, they have, but just blindly putting your faith in the people at Delphi, you're putting your faith in, you know, L.A. gear man with the slicked back hair. Do you really trust that? And when you look at all of the evidence as a whole, as much as you like to put this to bed and move on with your life, and I'm sorry, you've helped to destroy another life.
And Richard Allen. Think that, because it's such a small town, everyone's going to know who's on the jury.
Yeah.
Which I think is a whole nother thing. So everybody knows if you were on that jury, I don't know that they could have properly found people who had a bias.
Yeah.
But then, do you want to be the jurist who is like, no, I'm not going with this at all? Then what happens to you in your small town?
I'd also like to make note all of these things that we've talked about so far, and your mind's going to continue to be blown if you're not familiar with this case. All of those things that we've discussed, the Ron Logan, all the things on his property, all of the accusations, all the things he's been convicted on, that should be put into the case, if a jury's going to hear this, wouldn't you think as like, well, this is an alternative suspect, he's dead, but it does introduce some reasonable doubt.
Correct. Yes.
The jury didn't hear any of it. None of it made it to trial. The jury doesn't know Ron Logan exists.
Maybe now they do after watching the documentary.
After watching it, they do. But when it mattered, when this trial was happening, when they had to consider this, the judge, we're not talking about any alternative suspects, no matter how valid they are. And do you get much more valid than it happened on the guy's property? He looks like bridge guy. He made up an alibi. Can you, Carol, get anyone more obvious a potential suspect than that?
Right.
You can. You actually can. It's a fake question. You can get crazier than that. Because lo and behold, there's another suspect. And this one was into kitty porn.
That guy.
This one had been grooming and talking to Liberty German online for quite some time under the name Anthony Schatz. And in those exchanges, they were supposed to meet at the bridge the day they were murdered.
And they just dismissed him. They were like, no, he's not that guy.
It took them 3 years to finally arrest him on the child porn charges, even though they knew that he had it. That seems a little strange to me, unless there's somebody else in this ring of receiving and exchanging these images. Because usually when you get that sort of thing, you go big and you get him arrested. Or you look into it a little bit deeper and you kind of let him simmer and you discover who else is part of this ring and you can go bigger and bust more people. Mm-hmm. They didn't do any of that. They waited 3 years and they finally arrested him on the child porn stuff because everybody's kind of like, hey, you know, this guy's doing this stuff and you know about it. Can we make it stop? They finally get him. But according to him, couldn't have been him. He wasn't there. Yeah, he was talking to her, but it's all just a complete coincidence. That's quite a coincidence that you were talking about meeting at a spot where these two young girls died. And you were talking about meeting those specific girls who died at that specific spot. And you're a child predator. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. And like, so girls that age, 100%, you meet that boy online. You know your parents aren't going to want you to meet him online.
And they were showing fake pictures.
You're talking to a boy your age.
Yeah.
You know, so for them, I would have done the same thing when I was their age.
Yeah.
You know, I would think, you know, I've been talking to this boy and we're supposed to meet and let's go meet at that bridge. That makes all the sense why they wanted to go that day, that time.
Of course it is.
They're meeting him at a certain location there.
Keegan Klein was putting out fake images of this Anthony Schatz character, and he looked like a young boy that they would have been attracted to. And he's not obviously that guy. He's a big oaf that has no self-control and likes to diddle with kids who's in jail now. And hopefully someone takes him out at some point. But there's that. So I don't know if he was the one that was there at the bridge, but I certainly think you might have had something to do with the girls going there. And did you communicate that these two young girls are going to the bridge at that certain time to one of your other pedo buddies? And maybe they found this happening?
Yeah.
Or did you communicate to Ron or something? I know the story is it couldn't have been any of that. He didn't know Ron. They didn't communicate. It was all just a big coincidence. Believe this story. Then we got some more LA gear I can put in my hair. Need it. As the hairline's getting receding, I'm clogging the pores with the LA gear. Shit. Let's just go back more. More LA gear, please.
It's kind of funny with you putting it on your head with no hair.
It's insane. It's
that one really bothered me because they totally dismissed the possibility, despite the fact that so you have Richard Allen who calls in a timely manner maybe he saw something that day.
No history of anything. Yeah.
No history of anything. He seems to be a good dad, a good husband. You know, he was a member of the community. No red flags.
He's a CVS pharmacy worker who is literally at the place everyone in this town goes through and everybody sees every single day for years after this crime. No one in their right mind. There's even pictures of him where you can see in the background, like the wanted photo with the sketch that looked nothing like Richard Allen in it.
Well, and the sketches look nothing like the...
And the sketches look nothing like...
They picked up. No, that was weird.
And the sketches are completely different. They look like two totally different people. So that's how crappy this investigation is.
And who... Okay, and I might have missed this part. Maybe I got distracted with a cat or something. But why... Like, why were the sketches so different? And what were the sketches based off of?
They were
the
based...
The picture of this guy, the... bridge guy that you can't even see his face?
Exactly. They were based on eyewitness accounts, quote unquote, but neither were clearly of...
No, and...
Or were they? Or are they of the killer? Because they're clearly not of Richard Allen, which is really interesting. One of the sketches, and I do not think, and I do not believe this to be true, one of the sketches looks a lot like Andrew McGann, the guy who just stabbed the people here in my town, at Devil's Den. But that would have put him in high school or college at the time. Yeah. He wasn't living there. It would have been quite a, it would have been quite a trek. It's, is it possible? Yeah. Is it probable? Mm-hmm. Not at all.
No.
Same with the Virginia one that they're looking at. Same with the Wisconsin one they're looking at. Possible? Probable? Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel it. But anyway, so the sketches look nothing like the guy.
Nothing.
And this is the guy they go after.
Yeah.
So could there possibly be, Carol, anything else? Could there be anybody else more obvious
there was that
as
other
a
thing.
Suspect in this case that you should be looking at the very least likely have some sort of involvement in some way, shape, or form, because the odds of all of this lining up and you now have two people that just have really, really dark, bizarre coincidence happening simultaneously that point to them being involved in a double homicide at a very specific point in time. I don't know what kind of kismet that is or the odds of that happening, but we're probably in the quadrillions of that, of those two lining up. But wait, there's more. Odinism. Now, I don't know that this was truly an Odinistic ritual or somebody who just, you know, watches too much YouTube and likes Marvel and likes to think of themselves as Thor and get tattoos and say, I'm an Odinist, when really all you did in life and the highest achievement you achieved was being a prison guard. But I guess if that's kind of where life is at some point and you think a lot of yourself in grandiose terms, you may think of yourself as an Odinist.
Mm-hmm.
To each their own, whatever. So there's there's this. There's stick arrangements. There's ruins is what one would call it, that were placed on the bodies of these girls in very strategic ways. Now, to the average observer, you go, why? It wasn't like, let's put a bunch of brush over the bodies so nobody finds them. This wasn't
that. Yeah, it was not that.
It was just sticks in a very specific way.
Deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, deliberately. Placed.
Deliberate way. I think that's a good way of saying it. And it looks like it's ritualistic in some way, shape, or form. The states, even initially, the FBI is looking at this going, there might be something to this. There's experts that look at it and go, without a doubt, this was some sort of a ritualistic killing. There's no reason for sticks to be placed or branches to be placed on these bodies in this sort of way. And the shapes that they form Nordic type symbols of Odinism. So there's that. And then, it turns out there's a guy in town named Brad Holder. And Holder has an affinity for taking pictures like this of young women on the ground with ruins, with the sticks on them, living children, mind you, but taking pictures of this and posting them on the internet.
Yeah, that was strange. And the fact that they didn't even keep the sticks as evidence. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess they just were like, this is nothing. But to me, there's a reason that they put the sticks were deliberately placed there. And this investigation just totally didn't care about that.
No, it was
there's
very...
a reason why the sticks were placed there. There could be DNA on these sticks.
They didn't
there
test it for that.
Was.
Yeah.
But they, I'm going to guess, just threw them to the side. And who knows what ended up happening to them. But they did not collect them as evidence.
Yeah. Let me, I want to walk you through just kind of everything here with Holder. Because obviously he's innocent. He's never been charged with a crime. So that's a fact. But here's some facts. Here's some other facts that look a little bit bizarre. In a 136-page court filing, Allen's defense points that the Delphi murders may have been a ritualistic sacrifice with connections to the Norse pagan beliefs of Odinism. Brad Holder, he was named among several Odinists allegedly linked to the crime scene. Among others, Elvis Fields and several others, Johnny Messer and Patrick Westfall and Ron Abrams. I believe one of them spoke in the documentary and talked about this. And I'm in no way saying that all these people had anything to do with these killings, okay? I'm just pointing out what we know, what we
they
know as facts.
They could be potential suspects.
Of the involvement here, mainly pointing at the accusations that have been fielded against Brad Holder. They allege these links were recklessly ignored by prosecutors. So what are we talking about? We got the runes made of sticks. Defense claims that the crime scene featured runic patterns made from sticks placed on the victim, citing them as ritual markings. And if you look it up, it's there. Brad Holder's son, by the way, dated one of the victims, Abby.
Oh.
And Holder's social media mirrored these elements, featuring runes, images echoing body positioning, and symbols that were not public at the time. Why are you taking pictures of children laid out in the position of the victims with the sticks, the runes on them, and posting them on your Facebook page? And then making comments. On February 17th, 2017, just days after the murder, Holder is posting on his Facebook page, your real, quote, ones don't judge you or ask a bunch of questions. They help you move the body and never speak of it again. This in tandem with the pictures.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. That's not weird or suspicious or anything like that. It must be the guy at CVS that has nothing to do with this, who literally raised his hand and said, can I help? That's from the Murder Sheet podcast, that little piece there. Then the runic imagery on his Facebook page. Holder posted the image of a hand with a runic symbol drawn on it. The defense labeled it as the Hengel rune, which is tied to Odinism. However, commentary in Holder's post depicted it as the runes Gibo or X and the Isla, which is a single vertical line, supposed symbols representing gifts being received, which Holder claimed he had been getting a lot of lately. Again, that's from the Murder Sheet podcast. And yeah, the stick cutting. Facebook post supposedly by Holder depicted someone, possibly Westfall, cutting a tree branch with Holder commenting, cutting ruins. Defense contends that it aligns with the sawed branch found at the scene, implying ritualistic intent. Again, the jury saw none of it.
Yeah. And I thought that was quite compelling. And they had I don't remember her name, but they did have an expert on that sort of thing.
They did.
Talking about it. Because there was a reason they were placed where they were. They knew that they had been moved and put into position, in a certain position, with these sticks placed on them. Mm-hmm. They know that. So here's someone who is doing this same sort of weird stick thing. And, you know, it's like, I found that to be very compelling.
This is an insane case. And there's and so there was, many so layers to it.
There's three different possibilities that actually seem more valid and more likely than Richard Allen.
And the police will say, well, we vetted all that. We went through all of it. We didn't find anything. Did you? How close did you look? Because you seem kind of shocked by a lot of these things that are being brought out into the public.
It kind of seemed to me like once they got their eyes on Richard Allen, because it took them quite a while. Mm-hmm. They didn't come up with anything to connect him to that until they saw the tip, and I'm using air quotes, that he had been there that day.
Yeah.
And he's got a blue jacket.
And who doesn't have a Carhartt jacket in Indiana?
Right.
Look, this is just normal attire for the, there's nothing really that compelling about any of those things.
So to me, there was no more that tied him to that crime than that.
There isn't anything that ties him to the crime other than the bullet, which, again, I think can be explained.
Possibly. But the bullet doesn't make a whole lot of sense at the crime scene.
No, it doesn't at all.
Because why do you have a gun with you that you've obviously, in maybe a threatening manner, a bullet is, I don't know the proper term here, I'm not a gun owner, but the bullet comes out, but it's not been shot.
Unspent.
Yes. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
So why do that with your gun if you're just going to turn around and stab him?
Here's the thing.
That made no sense.
Here's the other thing. When they were investigating this, they opened it up and they had all the police wandering and traipsing through this, you know, fairly touchy crime scene where you don't know where the evidence is. It's in the woods. So the less people in that scene, the better.
Mm-hmm.
You got 30-some people trampling around there. It's been tampered with. It's not a clean crime scene anymore. 30-some people wandering around there with guns, handguns that could very easily take the very bullet that was found on the ground. And they find this way later. This bullet is found after all of those police are wandering around the scene. And it isn't until several years later where suddenly the markings come into play. And again, it's after they confiscate Richard Allen's gun that suddenly this bullet has these markings on. And that's all they have. That is literally all they have. Nothing else.
Now, I think that people will say, and including the investigators, that he confessed to it.
There's that.
I didn't find a lot of credibility to that because there are a lot of cases of people confessing to crimes in a number of different ways. It could be lack of sleep. They've been interrogating them for hours.
Oh, this is beyond that.
And yeah, this goes beyond that sort of thing. This is months in solitary confinement.
This is more than a year.
And you look at him, he doesn't look okay.
He's not okay.
You know, he's not.
Even the psychologist is like, he's suffering from psychosis. Well, let's take it.
In his mind, I think anything he confesses to or admits to, I don't find credible. Because I think he's been held in such extreme conditions. Now, imagine if he had nothing to do with this crime, and he is all of a sudden arrested and put in solitary confinement. How would you end up after a year?
Which is what happened. And you know what? That's not how this typically works. When you're arrested, you don't go to solitary confinement. You're in the county jail. They moved him to a prison and put him in a little room in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day for more than a year. They denied him access to his attorneys. And when he did have access to his attorneys, it was through a little hole in a door. This is a man not convicted of a crime in the United States.
Yeah.
Yet this is how it went. Because, well, he's charged with it. So, you know, look the other way. It's not they're doing, I trust them. They wear blue. So he's literally tortured for more than a year.
Yeah.
He starts eating his poop, running into the wall head first. And he's talking about that he killed his grandchildren. He has no grandchildren. He went mad. And then they said, you know what? Let's get that confession. So they get him to confess in a very bizarre way. It sounds nothing like the man. And then on a sheet of paper, he confesses, and it looks like you're playing like something of like on Romper Room or Picture Page with Bill Cosby in 1979. If you remember Picture Page, makes noise and they walk when it drives, walks around or it writes on the TV. That was good times before we knew what Bill Cosby was. And it looks insane. It looks like it's the work of a kindergartner. I killed the, it's like, it looks nuts because it is nuts. They drove the man insane, got their confession and said, see, he confessed. Look at us. Delphi PD number one, bitch. This means you. This means you. You get more hair gel. You get more hair gel. Get excited, Nick.
Have enough.
You're the super prosecutor. More LA gear for you. You got him. And according to McClelland and according to Delphi, that's how you catch a killer. You torture them for a year. Keep telling them that they did this crime that they did not do. You know, tell them how like their family is going to be destroyed and all this and how the best thing you can do is to do this for them. And eventually you get the person to go nuts, not crack, but go nuts and say crazy things. Because if you watch all of the interrogation and go back and do this, if you're enraged like me about this case, go and we've provided it. It's on our Facebook or on our YouTube channel. You can watch all of the interrogations before he confesses to anything, when he's still just an innocent man who's coming into the police station to answer questions. And you can see how they slowly railroad him and slowly try to break him down, and he does not break. It's like, I didn't do this. I know exactly what you're doing here. And then you can watch, as the months go by, how he slowly deteriorates. And at one point in those calls, he says, look, I'll say whatever I need to for the better to keep you safe, honey. And so you can live your life. And this doesn't have to destroy your life, too. He says, I'll say whatever I need to. He's willing to sacrifice himself for the betterment of his wife. And his wife speaks out in that new documentary, Kathy, on Hulu. And I think this is the first time she's spoken out, and really watching her and seeing the hell that she's gone through and been dragged through as well.
Broke my heart.
Because of these monsters in Delphi. Because of you, Nick McClelland. Because yes, it goes back onto your ass.
I just feel like having this crime, a horrific crime, to young innocent girls brutally murdered, they needed to find and arrest and convict somebody.
Yes. And at the end of the day, that's what happened.
They found this guy there. And so to get, you take this to the jury without all of the other things that we just talked about. And I'd be interested to know if any of the people in the jury watch this documentary. And if now they're like, wait a minute, we didn't know all this shit.
I'd be very curious.
But to me, you know, I feel like they had to find somebody. And so what if this man has to give up his life?
They didn't care.
They don't care.
They get to
but
be.
What they presented to the jury between this bullet, he admitted to being there. Mm-hmm. He has this exact same outfit. And
he doesn't have the exact same outfit. He has a similar.
Well, but I think they say, like, because they took a picture of the blue jacket, it's about, and it looks similar to that.
It's. I'd say Ron Logan has a closer costume.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't hear it.
But the jury doesn't know about Ron Logan.
Yep.
So they're just showing them that, look, Richard has this outfit. So he's got the blue jacket. We found it. There's video of this car leaving. That looks like his car. I don't know that it does. But at a distance, it could be a few different cars. Yeah. But his car was similar to that. So I think when you don't show them anything else, this is what they have to go on. And then it ends with he admitted to being there and he confessed. There you go. That's your guy.
I agree.
And, you know, they have to go back. And I'm assuming, I don't remember now, they did seat the jury from people in Delphi or locally, right? They didn't move the trial.
No.
So to me, they have to go back into the community. Mm-hmm. How do you go back into the community and go, it wasn't him?
And you had
then
to close.
Is everybody going to railroad you and run you out of town?
You had a closed door trial, no audio, no video, no public anything. There was little to no accountability. You had every motion that should have been allowed into this, all these different pieces of evidence that should have been allowed into this, all denied by the judge at every turn. You could, the judge, for her part, like early on. Sorry, my dog was eating cord, so I had to tell her to stop. Unmute my mic. She's already destroyed a few HDMI cables here. Not at this moment, but how this happened, how you have it all go down. Yeah, you present it to a jury this way, they're going to see it that way. I don't blame the jury. The jury did what they were presented with, but what was held back and why it was held back and what onus the judge had, what gall had, I don't know. I don't know what her predisposition was for taking away Richard Allen's rights to a fair trial were. I don't get it. I do not.
I don't think anybody cared about Richard Allen's rights.
No. I just don't know why she, I don't know. It points to there's some web here going on where a lot of these folks are interconnected in this area. And I don't know that Gull is. I think Gull's just bullheaded, in my opinion, and just was like, we're just going to push this thing through and be done. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thoughts. I don't know. I don't know her. So that's just my conjecture. And I think she was relying on the investigators to be honest, to be bringing actual information and real evidence and not ignoring key pieces of evidence or lying by omission to the courts and to the jury and to the public. But they did.
Yeah.
They lied by omission so many ways and then said, here's what it is. That's the Delphi case. It's a big deal. If you want to get enraged about anything, get enraged about this. A bitch who gets super drunk and runs over a boyfriend, come on, let's move on from that. We know what happened there, or we think we do, or whatever the jury thought, but let's move on. Let's move on to this because this is insane. And there's so much evidence here pointing to an innocent man being put away for the rest of his life.
And they do have an appeal.
They're going to try to get an appeal.
Right now, correct?
Well, it's the defense has issued their statement to the court, to the Supreme Court. The prosecution has now issued their rebuttal saying it's whatever they say is not accurate. And then we get a chance then for the defense to give their rebut. And then it goes to oral arguments in 2026. Mm. And we'll see where it goes from there. This is a crazy, crazy story. And at the end of the day, the scary and the really sad part about this is, I don't know that even if this is all successful at some point in time, Richard Allen gets acquitted, Richard Allen gets a new trial, they find him not guilty or whatever, and he's out. This is such a damaged man.
Oh, agreed. I think
I feel like I don't know. I mean, I don't know Richard Allen personally by any means. I don't know Kathy Allen. I know Bob knows Kathy a bit. And Bob went to the trial every day and reported it on it for us. But I don't know what you're going to get out of there at someday. Are you going to get a guy that literally needs to be like institutionalized for the rest of his life for the damage that has been done to him?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Does anybody care?
I don't know that he survives. By the time this is done, it's going to take years. And he didn't have, he seemed to break down and lose sanity pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And he's back in solitary. So I don't know what you're dealing with right now. I've been like thinking like, can I go visit him? It's not that far. It's about an hour and a half for a drive for me to go over there and check this out.
Who knows if they'd even
if I could even do it. Yeah. It's insane. This whole damn thing is insane.
To me, if you have this horrific case with these two innocent girls being horrifically murdered, if it was my loved one, the last thing I would want is the wrong person paying for that crime.
Yeah.
And the person who did it is still out there or maybe is already dead.
And look, that's what I feel there is a reason.
Is it justice? It's not justice if the wrong person's behind bars.
And that's where I feel the victims' families need to start speaking up. Mm-hmm. And they need to start realizing you were not served. You deserve better. Just because these idiots told you they found their guy, they're wrong. Now, it may feel easier to sleep at night and keep telling yourself it over and over, but it doesn't seem to be accurate. Well, these people say it is great. I mean, if you can just live your life like that, great. But at the same point, keep in mind there's a good chance you've ruined this other person's life.
And how does that feel?
How does that feel? Now, I'm not out to attack these families. Like they've gone through enough shit.
Oh, I can't even wrap my brain around what they've gone through. But at the same
point, your voice matters in this. And it doesn't exclude you from looking at reality and facts. And if you're being fed a line of bullshit, they're saying this is the guy who killed your kids, and the pieces just don't add up, then it's also on you to say, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you, and here's why. They're in a horrible place, but I really feel like the only way anything is going to get any sort of traction in Delphi is if these families start turning against Delphi. And they start saying, you know what? We don't believe you anymore. We looked at this closer. We think you're full of shit.
Yeah.
And whoa! They don't want that, that's for sure. But I don't know what else is going to get it, because public outrage hasn't done a lot. It's keeping this thing going. It's keeping this being talked about, thank God. But I really think you need some people close to this who even early on in those docs had said, you know, I considered this for a moment. Go back and consider it more.
Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, with people in Delphi, the jury, these families, if they watch this documentary and then they start questioning it the way you and I are.
And here's the reality, I think, of a lot of it. This is all very close to home. They don't want to relive this. They're probably not watching the documentary. They don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. They don't want to keep being reminded of it. When there's shit that's traumatizing and stuff, I know I don't want to keep watching more about it. I didn't want to keep watching 9/11 documentaries forever. Yeah. You know, it's like they come out like, well, this is really interesting. I lived there. I lived it. I lived it. You know, I remember the time. I remember the hell. I wasn't there, but I lived that time. I don't need the documentaries to keep showing me what a fucking horrible time that was.
Yeah.
So I get why people aren't going to want to consume it, and really, because they had to deal with this for so long, that trauma. So to have to go and regurgitate it and come back and see, like, God, that's hell. So I feel horrible for those families, but I would encourage, take a moment, because there is still some good that can be done here. And that good is actually finding or naming the person who killed your kids and getting the guy who didn't his life back.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us there. And if you're on the podcast platform, do the same search and press subscribe. Want to hear your thoughts. Until next time, for Carol and Tony Bruschi, we'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.